Hawks are back on track, riding a little bit of the up and down recently, trying to get it right here and win two in a row next Saturday against the Badgers. But we're going to recap this Northwestern game first. Sullivan came into the game, obviously the biggest development of the season, something that many people have been waiting for eight games now. He did well. We won the game. He should be the quarterback moving forward, but he's not the savior just yet. Let's have a day. Let's go. Has about 19 days to back out too. Every other fighter he's had lined up has had a little extra time, but
he's only got about 19 brain cells left, and he's wagering them all on November 15th,
16th, or something like that. I don't know. Whatever. Welcome to the Watch Up Walk-Ons. Drake Kulik has a fight lined up. If you want to see Drake fight some other human who likes combat, and I'm sure what will be a very clean.
Get him on as a guest.
Drake?
No, the guy he's fighting.
Should we pull a mid-season, just right in the middle of the week? Just, and here's so-and-so. Tell us what you'll be doing on November 16th. Yeah, I'm fighting this guy named Drake Kulik.
In Laughlin, Nevada?
Yeah. Look
up, population 8,600.
Oh, boy. I'm sure the place that they're going to be fighting is a very clean, well-run, definitely not
drug-free environment.
Definitely not a warehouse that's been cleared out and they put a octagon in the middle of it. Yeah. We haven't talked about that Drake guy in a while on the podcast, but if anybody is in Laughlin, Nevada on November 16th, you can go watch him fight. And I think supposedly there's going to be a live stream of it. So we'll pump that out to the old, to the Walk-On Army on Patreon. I know a lot of people are still invested in Drake's life, although he's kind of gone dark here. He's going to fight some guy in a real fight. They'll shut the cage and he's going to try and kill somebody, basically.
He's going to try his damnedest.
Yeah.
With his fist and probably feet.
Like I said, welcome in. Washed Up Walk-Ons, another week. Up this week. We're riding a little bit of a roller coaster here, boys. I don't know if you guys have noticed. You know, big win, nice win against Minnesota. We feel good about ourselves. We're going a little bye week. Ohio State, get crushed. Come back, feel great about ourselves. Oh, Washington, put together a full game. Go to Michigan State, smashed. Northwestern comes to town. Hey, everything's good again.
Ride the roller coaster. They read the slight edge, and they just read that chapter incorrectly.
Didn't get.
To ride the roller coaster.
No,
I know some people get caught up on that point.
Are we gonna? Is there any chance we can stay on the upward trajectory here? Or got the Badgers coming in.
Bucky the Badger. We'll talk about that next week.
We will. We will. In fact, Gary, some early betting advice.
Already?
I don't know if I don't know for, if for,
is it Drake Kulik money line? Is there an odd on that?
No, yet? Okay. You and I were both tagged in this. It says hammer the Hawks next week. Wisconsin quarterback sucks fat cock.
Jeez. He did have a very unfortunate interception this week against Penn State. But
you and I were tagged in this tweet by Hawkeye Jesus, and that's all it says is hammer the Hawks next week. Wisconsin quarterback sucks fat.
It's always great when you quote scripture like that.
That is Bible right there. Evidently, we'll have to take that in consideration on the Ward's winners, which, Grant, if you could, bring up the updated standings there. I don't know how you guys did.
Cool. I think you had a pretty solid week, man.
That's a 4-0 weekend. It's a 4-0 weekend, and that's after I went 4-1 last weekend, or 3-1. So
the comeback is on.
Last 2 weeks, we've been hot, and the account balance says so, and we're enjoying that. We've actually had a pretty decent day in NFL so far as well. Week 9 bets, there it was. Boise State and USC both played on Friday night.
The records have not changed, by the way. Just heads up.
Boise State was a -3 over UNLV. At UNLV, they took care of that game late, won by like a touchdown. USC, fantastic. USC, you tweeted at me.
Did you stay up and watch the one of the best games of the year, right?
I woke up at about
Heisman front runner in it. Big game you bet on. Lots going on in there. You were there for it.
All I know is I woke up to a tweet from Big Ten Grant that said, "You still up watching Ashton Jeanty?" And I read that tweet at 6:35 a.m. So I was not up to watch, but they did cover on my bet. USC played Rutgers. Rutgers has fallen off the face of the earth after a great start. And they went out to USC, and USC took care of them by like three scores, maybe four scores, on Friday night. So I was 2-0 going into Saturday. Indiana played I think it was about the game that people thought it would be. Washington went to Indiana, and Indiana took care of business. They are rolling with Coach Cignetti. And they won by more than a touchdown, so they cover that 6.5 line. And then Vanderbilt, I actually thought this was the easiest bet of the weekend. Vandy had that huge win against Alabama at home. Texas came in. Texas, maybe a little bit more unproven than what, you know, the surface level there. And Vandy had it didn't look like it, but they had a real chance to tie that game late in the fourth quarter. And so they cover that 19-point spread easily. Your boy goes 4-0, which will make me 19-14 heading into the next weekend. So we're all about that.
Respectable. You know, I think people put a lot of stock in that win over Texas win over Michigan early in the year for Texas. And like they beat them with ease. And we all knew Michigan wasn't last year's Michigan, obviously, but I don't think people realized how far Michigan dropped off this year. So
yeah, I would say, yeah. And that's really all they
can do. Texas is obviously a playoff team, but are they, we saw Georgia kind of expose them a little bit. So we'll see.
For sure.
Come back in the back half of the year, but
yeah.
A couple questions for that Texas team.
Yeah. Kev, you had, Oregon, Illinois under?
You had the Oregon, Illinois under at 54.5. This thing looked dead as a doornail at halftime. I think it was 35-3 at halftime. The final score ends up being like 38-9, I want to say.
Nine points in the second half.
Teams. So we end up cashing the under there. Penn State -6.5. They pull away late to cover there. LSU +2.5. They were up early and
I'm sorry. That was the most insane. Jaden Daniels just threw like a 70-yard Hail Mary and beat the Bears. That was insane. I'm sorry.
Really?
Yes. It tipped off a dude 5 yards in front of him and landed in the back.
That's huge because that complete the parlay.
It might have been Scary Terry.
You gotta be shitting me.
That complete the parlay for me because I had them in a money line parlay.
Hold on. I'll have to see who it was. Go on, though.
If it's Terry McLaurin, I just lost my fantasy game, and I'm going to be extremely...
It was not scary. It was not Terry. It doesn't
Okay, thank God.
Okay.
Kevin goes 2-1, and he'll be 20-13-1 heading into next week. Gary.
2013. Good year.
Was a good year.
I think we went 5-5 by my count here. But somebody, like, if we lost, just total disaster. Illinois, too. Like you said, 9 points in the second half from both teams. Oregon called off the dogs with like
they had a chance to cover that game.
They called off the dogs like 15 minutes into the game, and Illinois was just lifeless the whole time. Still, they gave them every opportunity. Just Illinois here, backdoor cover. They gave them. Dan Lanning was begging them to do it the whole time. Couldn't move the ball. Bad. UCF disaster. It wasn't even in consideration. Bowling Green.
You go to the money line there.
What?
You want money line there instead of taking the points, huh?
Well, I think it was -1 when I got it. So we just like it. Why?
Same thing.
Why not just instead of risking a strange push situation, like why not just take them money line at that point? But Bowling Green beat Toledo. Massive, massive rivalry this weekend. Handled them. Good job. Texas A&M. I don't know why this Reed guy was ever not the starter. I don't know how, like, I don't know what was going on in practice where Connor Wegman, he must be great, but this Marcel Reed dude is just so much better. So he dominated. Great job. SMU stinks bad. 6 turnovers. They won, but they deserve to lose for their performance. And then Hawaii late at night took forever for them to wrap up. They had like a costume brawl at halftime as well on the Team One Sports app. That was crazy. Get all that content for free somehow. And that wrapped up my night. Yeah, I think we went 5-5, it looks like. But I could be wrong. Math was never my strength.
There's another brawl. That kind of happened a little bit. Michigan, Michigan State. Those guys hate each other, huh? Do you guys see that?
Yeah, they do.
They just hate each other.
I'm trying to think. Obviously, Ohio State, Michigan's a bigger rivalry, but I wonder if Michigan and Michigan State like actually hate each other more.
I feel like Ohio State, Michigan, there's a little bit of respect, maybe? A little bit?
I don't think
I mean, there's been multiple respect. There's been multiple fights between Michigan and Michigan State fighters. Like, remember that one it wasn't in the locker room, it was like in the tunnel. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did anyone they're talking about like some guys catching some assault charges. That end up happening?
I don't know. It could have, but the way they built those tunnels is just that's a recipe for disaster. You got both teams walking out into the same hallway before you run out onto the field. It's just you're just testosterone flowing through these guys, juice to the gills, ready to go play a football game, and you walk them right next to each other. Big weekend in college football. Another big day. Big day for the Hawks. Again, like I said, riding this roller coaster. Fortunately for this podcast episode, we're at the a peak. We're at one of the hills, one of the climbs, which is another offensive explosion against the Northwestern Wildcats. Took us a little bit, basically all the way up until a minute to go in the first half. And I was watching the first quarter of this in the car. Then we were at a baby shower on Saturday, yesterday afternoon. And so I was they had it on in the garage. It was like I think they dubbed it a baby kegger. You ever been to one of those? There was a keg at this party.
Almost never. No.
Okay. Well, there was a keg there and some hors d'oeuvre appetizer type food. And then the whole point was to celebrate that they were pregnant. Anyway, they had the game on, but it was like in the garage and the connection was shoddy. And I was also watching my daughter run around and play with other kids. So the second quarter, which is where a lot of things happened in this game, including the insertion of Brendan Sullivan into the picture, and Caleb Johnson's touchdown with like 20 seconds left. I was like half watching, half not. So when the second half, when the second half came out and it's Brendan Sullivan again, and we're up 12-7, I was like, okay, I'm going to have to go back through this. So correct me if I'm wrong. Cade got smoked on some play. Did he get hurt?
He looked fine to me.
I was going to say, big difference between hurt and injured, but it wasn't notable to my knowledge.
But he got hit pretty hard. I think he, like...
Yeah, he drew...
roughing the passer. Roughing
the passer. Probably... It was a borderline one. Like
old football rules, you'd be like, what
is that? Oh, yeah. Like 10 years ago, that's never a roughing the passer call.
Yeah. Okay.
That's before he threw a pick, but...
And then he comes out and he throws what is described online. I have not seen it as a bad pick. Was it a bad pick?
Well, both were bad picks. He threw a complete duck. I thought at first like it's this thing got tipped or he got hit at his throat. No, the ball leaves his hand. Then he gets hit. The thing looked like it got shot by a 12 gauge.
I saw that one. Chris Hassel has been on this all year. The guy doesn't use the laces on a lot of his throws.
Yeah, the thing just falls out of his hand like basically. Like you're going to throw it straight and it goes right. Like he sliced his throw, if that makes any sense.
Like having thrown a football every day back and forth to, I'm not a quarterback, but to some extent, like I feel like, and for a quarterback, it probably is a little bit more important to throw at the velocity they're throwing, but he seems to have an okay time with it, but not when you're set to launch a bomb. Like you're not going to throw a nuke without the laces. It's pretty important. And it looked like it slipped out of his hands. Laces probably would have been beneficial on that. That was horrible. And then I guess he threw another pick. Did he throw behind the receiver and the guy grabbed it?
See, it's
that's just bad.
Yeah,
that's not ugly. Good. Jesus.
It's the pick that actually stood for a pick six. Yeah, it's he's tried to throw a late hitch. Like he's looking for it like holds on to it for a second, didn't like it, and then it's like almost like panicked and threw it anyway, and it's just a bad idea.
And the guy housed it for like a 70-yard pick six.
I think it was 82 or something like that.
Jesus Christ. So it was after that point
That was his last throw of the day.
Okay, so then Sullivan came in, and by my marker on the ESPN play-by-play, you know, box score, it looks like that was about 10 minutes left in the second quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Sullivan comes in, and not much really happens for a few drives. And I just want to point out, because I was, again, I was just, this is just for the haters, I was hard on Reese Dakin early in the year when it was stuff that should have been better. Guy has been absolutely what Coach Wallace would call bomb.com as of late, since then, basically. Since that punt against Troy where that guy housed it, Reese Dakin has been an absolute weapon. Yesterday, he put a punt down. He put two in a row down on the six-yard line. Those were punting from within our own, like just across the 50. He put another one down on like the 9 or the 11-yard line. And then those were his three punts that he kind of had to pull back on. On his other five, he averaged 44.8 on the day. On his other five, he averaged over 48 yards where he didn't have to intentionally take some off. So this kid he's out of this world right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I know we talked about it early in the year, like, you know, had a few punts that were, you know, punting had to be better. He is, correct me if I'm wrong, punting at a Torrey Terry level right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think Torrey's, I mean, you take that average, right? And you have to assume the short ones, because that's just how punting goes. Every guy is going to have to kick some plus 50s. But yesterday, the punts that weren't plus 50s, where he just opened up and let it rip, I think that's an average that's higher than Torrey Taylor's best year, which was last year. I think Torrey averaged like 47.8 or something, and Dakin averaged like 48.1 or something like that. So very, very good. And doing what he wasn't doing early on in the season and helping out the Gunners, who, again, it's not Cooper DeJean. It's not some of these guys that we've had. He's just dropping it right down there on the six. And, you know, that's really, really helpful in the field position game. And we'll take it. We'll absolutely take it. Anyway, a couple three and outs. I mentioned the punting because we went three and out. We had to punt. We went three and out. We had to punt. And that's with Brendan Sullivan in the game. I believe Coach Ferentz said in the post-game interview on the radio that the plan was to bring Sullivan in a greater role in this game in some sort of rotation. I don't know if that's true or not. He came in and he didn't leave the game. And I think there was good reason for that. We do finally get on the board just before halftime. Caleb Johnson sparks the stadium a little bit. It's 12-7. And then we come out, and I'm telling you what, third quarter Hawk guys. It's the third quarter Hawks, baby. You better be scared when we come out at halftime.
Depends on the third quarter. That Iowa State third quarter was pretty bad.
Outside of the Iowa State third quarter.
Ohio State third quarter was rough.
Ohio State third quarter was pretty atrocious as well.
Okay, well.
It's poking holes in your...
But you have to admit, outside of those two games...
Our last two third quarters have been...
And Minnesota.
Yes.
Two for two in your last two third quarters.
They've been good in the third quarter.
Put it on a shirt.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely t-shirt worthy. I think they scored four touchdowns yesterday in the third quarter. One was a punt return by Caden Weechen. Shout out to my guy.
Hey, it's Peter Harmon, the food guru, here to talk about Gray's Gourmet To Go. At Gray's Gourmet To Go, we are madly and passionately in love with three things: chicken lips, pizza, and great food to go. We believe you want to feed your family something great at home, but you're too busy with life to stop and cook. That's why we built Gray's Gourmet To Go. So the next time you need to feed the gang and you don't feel like cooking, just come to graysgourmettogo.com.
This is Leah Pesha, and I've been saying, hit a deer, call Premier, for years. But it's time for something new. It's still where you need to go for deer divots and door dings, as well as damaged dashboards. That's what my dad Nathan's driving at and dreams about. Why not say, when your car is dinged, be a deer and call Premier? I think Dad's going to love that. Premier Automotive, North Liberty's premier auto body repair shop.
Be a deer and call Premier Auto Body in North Liberty.
I've been calling, I think, the first return he had last year as the kickoff returner. I saw his speed, or maybe it was even an end around on. I was like, this guy with the ball in his hands, he is going to find the end zone on a return. Guy finally did it. He had one taken back earlier in the year because of penalty. Unbelievable return that Weijin put together yesterday. on the one punt return. Really, and I know, Kevin, this probably grinded your gears a little bit too. The Hawks gave up one late in the game.
I had stopped watching by that point.
I had two. My wife just had it. Lauren had it on in the car as we were driving home from that baby shower, and I saw it out of the corner of my eye, and I was like, well, that doesn't make me feel good. But nonetheless, we got one for ourselves. And Brendan Sullivan at the helm led three touchdown drives for the Hawkeyes in that third quarter. Several, I think he ran one in himself around the corner, made it to the end zone. There was one very, very cool play where he pitched it about 5 yards ahead of him and then ran ahead and blocked downfield for like 40 yards.
Yeah, saw that. That was pretty cool.
So sick. You can tell how much these guys love him. Obviously, it's set up as a perfect story. It's like a, you know, the beat writer's dream. He's a transfer from Northwestern. He gets his first significant time in the game against the Wildcats, and he leads the Hawkeyes to a huge victory, tons of points in the second half. You could see he was super emotional. I think he was talking shit to the Northwestern guys on this, like on one of the touchdowns. He's like looking at their sideline, like chirping. He comes off the field. You can tell he's emotional. All the guys celebrating with him. Pat Fitzgerald in the tunnel after the game, he sees him, huge smile on his face, gives him a big hug. Fitzgerald's son, a commit to Iowa, by the way. So just a lot of storylines here. I mean, like what a day. What do we think of we talked about it, Kev. We got to give this guy a chance. We got to see what he can do. I think Caleb Johnson after the game quoted as saying when Brendan came in, it really opened up the offense. People sort of had to key on him. And that's what opened up the run game from Caleb. Caleb gets three touchdowns and 100 plus more yards, continuing his Doak Walker resume for the season. What are we thinking here, boys? I mean, this is a little bit of a spark.
Yeah. I mean, I like coming from a defensive perspective. Playing against running quarterbacks is just exponentially harder.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously the guys who can, you know, really dial in a throw like into these tight windows, like there's not a whole lot you can do to defend that. But if you like take a guy who's equally accurate and you put one with some legs and they got some design quarterback runs, that just makes it so much harder for a defense to defend. Like you have to account for another guy. So, and when you're playing the numbers game, you have to always have that guy accounted for versus, you know, a guy who doesn't really pull it during the run game, like doing zone reads and such, like it makes it a lot easier to defend those runs. So there's definitely some substance to that. I don't think we asked him to do a ton in the pass game, but let's be honest, we haven't really asked Cade to do a ton in the pass game either. He did have a couple of nice throws earlier in the game, but I don't know. It could be a winning formula. We'll see.
I'm looking at the stats right here, and it's almost identical for Cade and Brendan yesterday. Cade was 7 of 13. Brendan was 9 of 14. So, you know, a small...
He had a nice... maybe his best throw of the day was on an RPO.
Yeah.
Which, like, especially when you have a running quarterback, you have to respect that a lot more often.
Was it the slant route?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a nice pull.
Yeah, brings the linebackers up a little bit. So, you know, maybe the run game RPO, maybe that's our new identity, you know.
I would say with him, it definitely should be if he has that ability. Like you said, harder to defend. Again, 9 of 14 for Brendan, 7 of 13 for Cade. Brendan threw for 79 yards, Cade for 73. They both averaged 5.6. Cade obviously had the two bad picks, the one we got bailed out of. But as far as a QBR rating goes, and I know that's not everything, Brennan's was 75, Cade's was 19.8. So there's something to sort of separate them as far as a statistic goes. I would also just say, like we talked about, it is really tough too, because I talked about last episode how the reason this team still has a ton to play for is because of those seniors, because of guys like Cade who have put so much into their career. You know, Cade's now been there for a decent amount of time. He's invested himself into this program. He's been trying his best, right? We go out there and you play for those guys who don't have very many games left. And then, you know, one of the biggest issues with the team is like, hey, we don't want this one quarterback to start who is a senior and only has 5 games of his career left. It's tough to go again, but you're looking for what's best for the team, right? And what's best for the team is maybe a little juice, a new guy to get behind. Like you said, Kev, maybe RPO. Not maybe. RPO is going to open up a lot of things, especially for...
We've been running RPOs already this year. It's just...
They don't respect
Kev. You've got to respect it a little bit more.
No. And with... I mean, Brennan is looking to run.
Like now you got... Instead of a linebacker thinking, do I respect this outside-inside zone play, or do I hang back for the slant that's coming behind me? He's also thinking about, I got to respect this quarterback run, so...
Yeah.
There's a different kind of progression going through the guy's head.
We'll see moving forward what the passing ability and accuracy and sort of, you know, getting through some progressions maybe will be for Brendan, assuming that he is the quarterback. I don't know why he wouldn't be.
And that's the thing, right? He hasn't been in a Michigan State like scenario where like we kind of need to throw our way out of this one.
Yeah.
In the second half there. And if we are in that situation again, I don't know. I can't promise you that we don't put Kate back in there.
And I don't think there's anything in this game that tells us Brennan is just definitely better than Cade to be able to get us out of those situations. I'm glad you bring up the Michigan State game. I saw a ton of people once we, the fan reaction to Brendan going in and us scoring a lot of points, it's so predictable and caveman-esque. It's like, oh, Brendan goes in, we score more points, we're better team. Oh. Like, you see we'd be 6-1 if we had Brendan in since the beginning. Well, hold on. Because Cade wasn't on defense last week when we couldn't stop. We were a hot knife through butter last week on defense. I don't think Brendan being in the game was going to change that. Brendan being our quarterback wasn't going to magically make us tackle better in our worst tackling game in maybe 40 years last week at Spartan Stadium. So, they put up 400 million yards of offense on us. Brendan being the quarterback maybe extends a drive or two here and there. They might have 40 less yards, but I don't think we just automatically win that Michigan State game. And I don't think throwing him in the second or third week we played Iowa State, who knows how comfortable with the system he is then when he's been there at that point for 8 weeks in the program. Like, he's now had double the time since that Iowa State game. There's a lot of factors here. Moving forward, though, I think it's pretty clear. And KF, I think, was vague from what I've seen in the post game. Like, oh, we've got some stuff to talk about, or like, you know, coach speak. I don't know if there was a start, you know, a depth chart announced today on, I think it maybe comes out on Mondays. Maybe it comes out on Sundays. I'm not sure when.
Tuesdays, I thought.
Is it Tuesdays?
Yeah.
I think I think everybody's sort of on the edge of their seat to see if like.
They might just do the or. He's like, Cade McNamara or Brendan Sullivan.
I don't think.
The thing is, like, Wisconsin's got to practice for both now.
It's true. That is true. I just don't know what. I don't know what juice there is left to squeeze with Cade in there, especially with a little momentum now. A lot of the guys seem to support Brendan. If you want to find continuity within these last four games, if you want to find some sort of consistency, you don't want to be switching back and forth, even if they're both playing okay. Like, you'd like to just have one guy. The saying goes, if you have two quarterbacks, you have no quarterbacks, right? Like, if you have two kickers, you don't have a good kicker. That was always the special teams thing. So I would go with Brendan. I don't know what KF is going to do. It is tough to sit a guy who you paid $500,000, allegedly. I don't know how much he got.
Sunk cost. You ain't getting back.
Yeah, it is sunk cost at this point. I mean, do you want to win games or do you want to pander to the guy that you paid money? I don't know. I think everybody on the outside wants Brendan. Brendan's super, like, in the press conference, he's like, yeah, it's not my duty to talk about a starting quarterback. Like, I'll take the opportunity if it comes. I'll be ready, but I'm not going to speak on that. Like, just perfect.
Well said.
101 media question answering by Brendan Sullivan after the game. But I would imagine this guy's a D1 athlete. If he was talking truthfully, obviously he wants to be the guy. Every single guy on the roster wants to
be the guy, right? You think I just loved doing nothing but playing special teams? Of course I wanted to play defense, but Ben Neiman is still in the NFL right now. So,
oh, Kevin, I thought you liked being the backup and just playing kickoff, kick return, punt return.
Well, don't get me wrong, I love doing those things too. But
screw starting linebacker.
Exactly.
Nobody wants to do that.
Brain cells, but
your brain health long term probably did come out on top there. I don't know. Grant, can I get a fan perspective on this? It feels like everybody on the outside is like, thank God we finally got Brendan in the game. Can we just stay with him?
Can you blame him though? Like you get an offensive eruption going on afterwards, and I get it. Like I don't think they needed a ton. It's also Northwestern, who is, I think, as we mentioned, is one of like the worst pass defenses in the country, right? But I mean, I don't think it's wrong to be excited. Like after disappointing game last week, to be excited about a new QB coming in. I don't think that's a big issue. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
I don't think there is either. I mean, I'm on the side of everybody else here.
Sometimes like the fans are just like the team. Sometimes you just need a little juice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's homecoming weekend. You know, it's like, why not be excited? I think that's okay.
I mean, Kevin had a great quote last week. It's the best practice reps are game reps.
Best practice reps are game reps.
And if the Big Ten championship and the playoff are done this year, and we're just trying to work to a good bowl game opportunity to get one extra game and some bowl prep, which we are now, one game away from bowl eligibility here? Are we 5-2? Is that the record? 5-3?
5-3,
so we need one win. We have a remaining schedule of Wisconsin, UCLA, Maryland, Nebraska. Those are four winnable games, albeit Nebraska pushing Ohio State to the brink. Not sure if you guys got to watch any of that yesterday. I think you just...
Nebraska's got kind of a tough run at the end of the year. I mean, they get UCLA next week, but then they go USC, Wisconsin, us.
That's not great. I just think you go. I'm with everybody here. Don't come at me. I'm with you. Put Brendan in the game. Play him. If it's bad, unless he's throwing a pick every other possession, and it's like, okay, this guy's got five turnovers. He's got three pick sixes in the first half, like that quarterback did the other night. Holy smokes! Was that McCord?
Three pick sixes in the first half.
The Syracuse quarterback transfer from Ohio State. Was his name Kyle McCord?
It's Kyle McCord, yeah.
Yeah.
He threw three pick sixes in the first half.
He did.
Jesus.
Yeah. Five total for the game. Not pick sixes, but five total picks.
Who did they play?
Not great. The Pitt Panthers. Undefeated.
It's a solid squad this year, man.
Undefeated Pitt.
What are the odds? Grant, can we get some odds on Pitt making the playoff?
I feel like it's still probably low just because ACC. But
what do they have to do? They basically have to be ACC champs.
Yeah,
I think if they go 12-1 and lose the ACC championship, they still get
get at large.
They make it at large.
I'm with you guys. I just
so they got to play Clemson in the regular season.
They are plus 600 right now to make the playoff.
There you go. I think it's a good time to just roll with Brendan, have Cade as backup. Again, it's not like it's illegal to put him back in if Brendan starts to struggle, and you just roll with that. Love seeing KJ open it up. I mean, it just feels like he's inevitable. Like at some point
he's going to get his.
Yeah, he's just going to get his 100 and his one touchdown, and if you're not lucky, he might get two or he might get three. His numbers, I saw somebody post this, it might have been Eicholt posted this today. His numbers versus the last two running backs to win the Heisman, which I believe are Derrick Henry and Mark Ingram, through eight games. He has more rushing yards than both of them did, more touchdowns than both of them did, and I think less carries than both of them did. So
the unfortunate thing is that the team record does, I think,
plays a factor.
Get into the fact that, yeah, exactly. The
huge factor.
Into the minds of the voters.
I would say he's a top 10 guy, though, for the Heisman.
Oh, 100%.
For sure.
Yeah. Look it up right now. He's definitely top 10 in odds.
Like, and dude, just to have it's so hard to even have a contender for the Heisman out of 134 teams. Just to have a contender is freaking amazing. It is so cool to have a Heisman watch guy in week 8 right now. Like that. When's the last time we had somebody that was that like on the award front? Like it feels like maybe God, what would it have been? Desmond? Desmond was like from the beginning of that that season. He won the Thorpe. Yeah, I mean, he was just like having an insane year.
I'm showing Dylan Gabriel as the favorite now. Really,
I think I saw that over the weekend too.
At plus 230. Ashton Gentry at number four at plus 440.
It's because he had an off night of 130 yards and only one touchdown against UNLV, and everyone lost their minds.
Trash.
Because again, everyone was asleep. You got to stay up and watch Ashton Gentry. All right, got to vote for him.
God, they just got to play at normal times, Grant. And if they want me to watch, they got to play at a time where I'm not in bed. It's just not going to happen.
It's Ashton Gentry didn't make the schedule. That's not his fault. You can't penalize him for doing that.
Well, but I can't be penalized for having a solid bedtime either.
Are you seeing odds on Caleb Johnson? I'm not seeing any odds on Caleb Johnson.
Like, as far as this goes, he would not be considered top 10 on this USA Today list here, which has mostly quarterbacks other than Travis Hunter and Gentry.
It's a QB award. I mean,
it is a QB award. It's tough. It's tough to.
That's just the reality of it.
As far as running backs go, he should be at the award ceremony for the Doak Walker, no question.
I'll pull that up. Maybe hold on. How about that? How's that?
Like it's Gentry, it's him, and then I think it's basically everybody else. Like Gentry is on his own level, then Caleb Johnson, and then the third tier starts its own. And I don't know if Mordecai. Or whatever, what's his face from Rutgers?
Rutgers, he's having another good year.
Monongai? Yeah.
Mordecai.
Mordecai, Tanner Mordecai. Was he a quarterback for Wisconsin?
Yeah,
he was. Yeah. I can't find any current Doak Walker odds, I'm sorry. But preseason, you could have gotten a nice price for Caleb Johnson, is all I have on that.
Oh, yeah, your price would have been insane. We'll go... we'll go to this comment next. Kev, this was just a random comment I wanted to bring in from our last YouTube channel. I think this is funny. This guy just doesn't know who you are. The comment was, why does Kevin act like every episode is an interrogation? Like, bro is inconvenienced to be on the show.
Was that one that I was on or one that I was not on?
It was one that you were on. And you must have been answering questions funny or... I'm not really sure, but I just thought that's a really funny way to kind of like question Kevin if you don't know who you are. And my response was simply, that's just sort of Kevin's baseline. That's just how he is all the time. It's not personal. It's just sort of how he is. And then I thought maybe we'd pull up
that's funny.
Maybe we'd pull up one of the more recent reviews of our podcast.
I got some of that. Are you surprised that we didn't see like late in the game, like under 2 minutes left? Is it still Linez? Is that our QB3 right now?
Linez, yeah.
Are you surprised he didn't get a single snap?
Not really.
No, because I think in the situation that we're in,
typically only the first and second stringers get practice reps during the week.
Yeah. That's a big part of it. The other big part of it is...
Can we throw him out there and just have him hand the ball off three times and punt it? Sure. Yeah.
I didn't know he doesn't get any reps in practice.
Yeah, good question, though.
This review on Apple Podcasts might win a merch package. You'll have to contact me that it was yours. I don't know how I'll be able to affirm that. But a podcast that you would think is by former players, but listen to them, you wouldn't know that one was a manager in the eyes of AJ Epinesa. One was the towel boy, and the other was a Make-A-Wish kid that ended up winning a contest to get on the show. I think they're talking about us three. They're not. Drake is not included in that.
Yeah, well, I mean, it might be to the week almost of Drake being absent now.
You're right. I believe it is, actually. I think it was about week 8 last year. All jokes aside, they have great views and have a different perspective than others. As a Nebraska Hawkeye fan, these guys give me love every Monday and Thursday. I'm glad you're feeling the love.
Dude. I do love you. All right? Love. All right, listener, I do love you, and I give you love right now.
Oh, here's all the love.
Also, we got to work on that Nebraska part of that Hawkeye
thing. Yeah, we got to talk about Nebraska, apparently.
Or is he saying he lives in Nebraska? That could be what it is.
I think that's what he meant.
Okay, yeah.
This review here is great. This is by Cody Hills, and he's got a bigger account on Twitter. He's pretty active. When Washington walk-ons first began, I sort of took the contrarian route and chose not to listen. I guess I just felt everyone was all over it, so I didn't need to be. That's an interesting psychology to that. I'd not in a like a rude way. I just interested in why. I wasn't
probably the right instinct.
True, I wasn't interested. All right, what a mistake that was. Okay, in quotes, KF voice. Anyway, I finally started regularly listening ahead of the 2024 season. Damn, it only took 6 years, brother. We love that. That's called consistency. You just wear them out, Grant. You stay there until they can't deny you, okay? Or there's nobody else to listen to, and then they're like, fuck, I guess we got to listen. ahead of the 2024 season, what a treat to myself it has been. The insight and perspective is second to none, and it's always the perfect mix of realistic expectations and optimism that I, too, choose to view the Iowa football program through. I will forever now be a listener. Cody Hills, legend.
Shout out to him.
Thanks, Cody.
Couple great reviews. Leave one. The boys, I mean, we've got almost 1,050 ratings on the Apple platform, and it doesn't tell me how many actual like written reviews we have, but there's probably, I would say there's probably half that amount, like 500 plus of those. We've read a lot of them on the show. Thank you for reviewing as always. You can do that on all platforms, I think. Well, YouTube would be a great spot. Comment down below, Rick Grant.
Like, hit that bell notification.
Ring that bell notifications, dude. Okay. Did you guys see this track kid run 4.15 at halftime?
Just came across my Twitter feed today, actually. Yeah,
got him on my draft board for the Broncos. Now he's slated for a third round pick for us.
So I think this opened my eyes.
He would one tiny little thing. If he was at the combine, they would have false started him. He would have had to go back, but
he wasn't set.
He did not stay fully set for a second.
Yes, I'm sure they were very strict on the rules for this halftime entertainment.
So a couple things about this. One, I don't know why I never thought about this. Maybe it seemed – it's like, hey, let's have a track kid go run a 40 out there. You know, like the idea just seems kind of like, okay. But in execution, it was pretty cool. Like the video they did, this kid can – absolutely fly, by the way.
Well, shit, I mean, 4.1, that's insane.
I think he
opened my eyes, Kev, because I always thought that track guys who are like, you know, they're low 10 runners. This guy evidently runs a 10.09 hundred.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I think he a couple years ago like shattered every sprinting record at Iowa.
So he can actually,
yeah, I mean, he's close to Olympic level.
He's less than half a second off of the Olympic.
I want to say
he's a second in 10 and 100 meters. Is
okay, well, yeah, he's 0.3 seconds away from the Olympic champion, which is a lot, but not like a lot. I mean, it's in track, but
he's great, though.
I thought that a good, fast track guy, you put him on a 40, I thought they'd be in like the, you know, the 4.2s, low 4.3s. And then we just bring some kid off the Iowa track team who's not even like Olympic level, and he goes 4.15?
Yeah.
Dude, that is so fucking fast. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, no. There is no comparison between track speed and football speed. None.
Now, it is different when you put pads on.
Naturally, but we don't run 40s in pads.
I'm saying if you were to translate this to like, oh, let's get him on the team, right? You put pads on, you have to run routes, there's somebody guarding you, you have to like add in the skill of catching a ball.
It's a completely different skill set. Being fast is a one factor of the skill set.
Sure. Yeah. But man, 4.15 on a laser time.
I like the respect of the track guys too. I mean, they're on a different level of speed, and I feel like some people don't realize
that. The Iowa track team has been pretty unreal recently too.
Women's and men's, we've been dominating like the last, I feel like since we were in college, Kev.
Shout out.
Yeah, I think they've won a few Big Ten championships in the last couple of years. Be interesting now that we got Oregon in the Big Ten too.
And I mean, USC.
Big Ten's going to be premier track and field league team.
I feel like that's awesome for our athletes because now I'm sure there's going to be meets out at Oregon on those amazing tracks and facilities that they have out there that the Iowa teams are going to get to go participate in. Mm-hmm. And Oregon's like the Mecca. That's where they hold all the trials. That's
USA track right there. Yeah.
Dude, I mean, that would be so sick as a track and field athlete to go out there and compete like on a regular basis over the course of your career in the Big Ten. Ugh,
I don't know if you guys like during the Olympics, like pay attention to this at all, but all of the track and field athletes from like across the world that were like, they all go to college in the United States.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's because they can get, if you're that good at track and field, there's a scholarship waiting for you.
Oh yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah. I mean, does like European colleges not do track and field or what?
I don't think and think about it now with like NIL. I mean, it's probably, I know what you're saying is like pre-NIL too, but like, if you're some 16-year-old kid, who's the 16? There was a 16-year-old on our 400 team.
Oh, the 4x4 team.
Oh, yeah. This kid's a sophomore.
He did not have a good run.
He didn't, but
I think he was 17. Gotta assume he'll get there again, though.
Imagine. Oh, really? imagine lining up next to him at your high school track meet. You're like, ah.
He plays football, too. I think they saw, like, in his first game, like 2 weeks after the Olympics, he had like 4 touchdowns and 300 yards or something like that.
Can you imagine at DB, you line up against this guy, you're like, uh-oh. I hope there's a safety over the top because I'm in trouble.
Yeah.
My goodness.
Now, the European guys, it's also when even pre-NIL, you come to the United States, it's like free training at it's a lot of these facilities they have are insane. They're better than anywhere else in the world. It's like, why would you not go there?
Yeah, I'm guessing
what you're saying is that USA can claim all of the track and field medals.
If we want to, yes.
Sure.
I'm going to just choose to believe that.
Phil Knight himself can claim half of all Olympic track medals.
True. The basketball girls got honored at I think either after the first quarter or maybe halftime. I'm not sure which, but they saw a lot of videos of that. Gabby Marshall, Caitlin, Kate, all back in town.
Made a little TikTok.
A little TikTok action, getting their rings. Let me talk to you about them rings, man. Those are pretty cool. Tell you what. I'd like one of those, huh?
You know what I want?
Go back to 2015, December 4th. And
it was December 5th.
December 5th at about 9:15 p.m. Maybe it was 9:45, somewhere around there. And get those refs to call a flag on Michigan State for holding or pass interference or something on that 46 play drive.
Now I was going to say, going back to that track thing, I want them to pull a fan out of the stands to also run a 40 against the track guy.
To race him?
Yes. Beat the freeze or whatever? Like they did the.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Kev, to make it more interesting, I want them to put the fan at 15 yards ahead. So he has to run a 25-yard dash.
Oh, I think that guy beats 90% of the fans in the stadium 20 yards ahead.
20 yards? You don't think most fans run 20 yards in 4 seconds? God, that's really bad.
There's a lot of old people in the fans.
Right. Okay, well, let's assume it's a – let's assume we put
– That would be pretty mean to put Granny down there.
All right. So pull that someone out of the student section. Insulting.
Yeah.
Pulling someone out of the student section. I'd say he –
15 yards.
15 yards, I think he beats 90% of those students.
Right. I think that's where you want it.
Yeah. Then what would be funny is when they accidentally pull one of his fellow track teammates out of the crowd.
Oh.
Then you got a showdown.
Then the track teammate's like, oh, wait, I got my cleats too. I have my spikes.
I've been waiting for this moment.
I did a little primer before the game just in case this happens.
He's got the speed suit now. Yeah.
There's
somewhere.
I don't know if I have much else. I mean, we didn't break down or go through the
defense.
The defense did play good. Hey, they got punched in the mouth a little bit. And like Grant said, Grant brought up a good point here. This was Northwestern. It's not like they've been blowing people out this year.
Yeah, they've been struggling on offense. For the last however many years.
And I don't know. I imagine I'm going to look it up here, but I imagine that, the offensive ranking for Northwestern is not good. I'm just going to take a stab in the dark. But nonetheless, that's the offense that they were up against. And I think we gave up 180 total yards.
63.
total
163.
Oh, 163. So that's good. Our tackling was better. Oh, I know. Jermari Harris.
Premier automotive collision of the game.
Collision of the game, baby. They threw that out to the flat, and Jermari put a boot. He brought the boom.
Oh, shoot. Yeah. Oh, no.
Oh, I hate you.
That's gonna be tough for the podcast listeners. But
what? Yeah. I don't. Jermari brought the boom, though. He hit. I think I heard that through the TV. He stuck.
It's so beautiful when you see it. Like, it's, you're like, oh man, he's gonna kill him. It's like, and you just see it happen in lifetime. It's like, oh, this is gonna be a train wreck, and boom.
And you can see the energy transfer from Jermari into his body. He just gets lifted off the ground. To answer your question, which you didn't ask, but I asked, Northwestern's offensive ranking through 8 weeks is second to last in the entire country.
Yeah, sounds about right.
Wait, hold on. We have to guess who's dead last now.
Oh, I think you can guess who.
Kent State.
Absolutely.
Oh, they're having a historic season.
They are.
I'm proud of
them. Kent State's dead last.
They might be. I don't know if they're leading a single category.
Kent State is the Iowa of this year from 2023.
Except their defense sucks too, or what?
Correct. Kent State's averaging 250 total yards per game offensively. Northwestern, at second to last, is 21 yards ahead of that, 271 yards.
What did we average last year? It was like in the 230s, wasn't
236.
It?
236.
We went 10-2.
And got 236 yards of all. It was a true statistical anomaly, Kevin.
Yeah. That is.
What was it like every other team to average that? The average win was like 4.2 or something.
Yes, the only teams to what was it? The only teams to ever average under 250 yards of offense. The most wins was like 3 wins, and we had 10. Second was 3.
I'll take it. I'll take it. I don't care. I want 10.
Northwestern's defensive ranking, not as bad as you'd think.
I like their defense. I think it's fine.
It's average.
It's 58th in the country. They give up only 350 yards per game. That's pretty good. That's not bad.
That'll work sometimes.
Iowa's sits right around, definitely not what we normally are, but we're at 23rd. We only give up 315 yards per game. Texas's defense, first in the country, only giving up 241 per game.
I got something I want to say about the game.
Say it.
I want to buy all of the Max Llewellyn stock that I can out there.
Okay.
The guy's a stud. It's safety. Awesome. Awesome moment.
Safety was great.
I feel like he's been getting to the quarterback a lot. Love Max Llewellyn.
Could have used some more pressure last week against Aiden Childs, but the defensive line has been better than they were through the first 3 or 4 games. And defensive pressure helps – or defensive line pressure helps a lot, dude. It helps so much. It's why and tell me if I'm wrong. Somebody can debate this. I think it's why Nebraska was able to hang in the game yesterday against Ohio State. They got a ton of defensive pressure up the middle at the line of scrimmage against Ohio State. Ohio State was already battling an injury on the offensive line. It is arguably, by experts, their worst position as far as talent goes. And then they had like 2 guys out on top of that. And Nebraska's defensive line was causing havoc. And like Ohio State couldn't get a lot going offensively. It is so damn important.
Make a quarterback feel uncomfortable. It makes it a lot easier.
So
you're only getting pressure with 4 too.
Yeah. Good shout out, Grant. We like that. Anything else? Anything else this week?
Shout out Kennesaw State. First win in FBS program history against an undefeated team.
I saw that.
Awesome moment in football. They had a
5-0, right?
They stormed the field twice in the game. They stormed it twice.
Excuse me.
Oh, yeah.
Because the game, they thought it ended, but there was a second left, so they had to get everyone off the field. They put them all back in the stands, and they stormed it again. And it was
biggest upset of the year, right? They were like 25-point dogs.
It might be the biggest upset in a little bit. They were 28.5-point underdogs, and they won outright. It was awesome against Liberty.
Good for them. Good for them.
Shout out.
So in total. In conclusion, shout out to the boys. We got back on track. We have some work to do. As Kevin mentioned, we'll be previewing the Wisconsin game later this week. Big toolbox game going down Friday night. If you're in town around the area, go check out the toolbox game. You're welcome to go. They open that to the public. Anyone who wants to go to the indoor Friday night. It's usually like 7 p.m. or something like that. We'll get the details out on Thursday's podcast. Wisconsin's been playing good. Now, they weren't able to pull off an upset that some thought they might be able to against Penn State this weekend, but they did not get rolled by Penn State by any means. In fact, one of the cooler plays of the weekend, there was a fake punt, and I don't know if it was intentional or not, but the punter The punter pulled it, and it was awesome.
Yeah.
For Wisconsin, and they hung around in that game for a while. So Wisconsin's a very similar talent quality to Iowa right now. Like I don't know what the line's going to be in this game. It's not going to be more than a field goal.
Well, that's where you're wrong. Iowa minus 3.5.
I think it opened at 4 too.
Really? Okay.
What? What does that face?
We'll see where that one goes.
I'm going to go back to this real quick. The Iowa over has just been an absolute machine this year.
Machine.
And we are sitting at 42.5 this week. My immediate reaction is I want to take the under, but
over.
No.
I actually, one of my bets that hit yesterday was I put the Iowa over under on a teaser, which made it even easier. It was like 38.5, took it down to like 32.5. Easy money.
That is one of my favorite plays, is teasing a low
under. Yep. Further
down. Yeah.
Yep. I agree. All right, that's it. I'm not going to drag this out for conversation that isn't exciting. Pretty much we beat Northwestern, which we should have. We're going to be up against Wisconsin. It's a big game. It's for a trophy. Something to play for. And by the time we come back to you guys, us three at least, for the preview episode, we will know if Cade or Brendan is named the starting quarterback. Plenty to talk about towards the end of this week. We have all of our other programming as well. Me and Eicholt, me and Coach Lima, Grant and I. On taglines, patreon.com/washedupwalkons, all that money still being totaled and tallied for the kids' donation later this year. Thanks for joining the walk-ons on this episode. We will talk to you next time. Peace. Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you want more, you can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Washed Up Walk-Ons. And if you're interested in supporting the show, head over to patreon.com/washedupwalkons, where you can find bonus podcasts, merchandise, and other cool perks. Best part, half of your subscription benefits the kids at UI Children's Hospital. We'll see you next time. Hawks by a million.